I'm so happy to have a very special woman, extremely talented pianist on the phone, Donna A. Ablase, who's the director of Music Vision Studio, and she teaches piano theory and composition. She has a degree in piano performance, and she's been doing that for over 15 years. Plus, she's contributed to the film industry, and her work's been featured in international radio broadcast, and you have so many nice recognitions from the Global Music Awards, the Prestige Music Awards, and I know nominated for HMMA and many others. So, and you work all over. You've worked with so many composers, too, and musicians that live all over Europe, Middle East, and India, too. So I know you were recently in France and spent time there, so I'm so happy to connect with you. How are you doing today?
I'm really well, and I'm extremely happy to speak with you, Cindy. Thank you so much for having me.
So you are back home now, though. You live in California and San Diego area?
Los Angeles.
Oh, Los Angeles. Wonderful. Well, that's a very musical city.
It is. In some sense, we are actually overrun with music here. There are more concerts than one can attend. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I grew up there, and it was so fun growing up in that musical area and seeing, you know, just being able to go to the concerts that you can go to there, right?
Yes, I know. It's just a challenge because I like to support all of my friends in their concerts, and I often have to choose on the same night between some. It's terrible.
Where did you grow up?
We moved a lot. I was born in France, but my father was recruited to work with NASA, and he worked in several locations in America, including New York and Alabama. So we were moving for my father's work. We came from France to America for that. And then it's difficult to say that I feel attached to a particular culture because I was raised in a multicultural household. My father is Greek and my mother is French. And just living in America always sort of gave me a root feeling that I would be comfortable in America. But I miss Europe when I'm not there. And when I'm in Europe, I still don't feel as though I'm quite settled either. There's not really a place that's home for me. I'm always...
Wow.
I'm always happy, but I'm always feeling there's some element of my life that...
You're a child of the world, Danae. But, you know, I love France and I love Greece. I've been to Greece 3 times, but I love Greece. And, I mean, especially the outer areas as well. But in France, I've probably been to about 8 or 9 times. But I used to fantasize that I was going to move there after the first or second time I'd been there. I'm going, I've got to live in France. I've got to live in France. When you go to France, do you go to Paris?
No, actually, I have... some very distant family and friends in Paris, but my family is in Bordeaux. That's where I was born, in the southwest of France. They're really famous for their red wine. And outside of Bordeaux, I have a sister in Angers and a brother in Hyères, which is a city on the coast near Nice and Cannes. I fly into Nice, but it's actually closer to maybe, let's Saint-Tropez, about 40 minutes drive from Saint-Tropez.
Mm.
And my mother is there also. So
beautiful.
Spending time on the Côte d'Azur when I go. Mm. And then it's also...
Such a beautiful place. My gosh, that's such a beautiful drive along the Riviera there.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I love it. And the cuisine. I mean, I love the cuisine down there because you get a little bit of that Mediterranean cuisine plus the French influence too,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, exactly. And then you even have some Spanish influence in the south of France. So you have a really interesting culinary influence. And what I think is so moving about French culture, as small as France is as a nation, it's smaller than the state of Texas, for reference. They produce so many cheeses, about 500 varieties of cheese in France. So
I love the cheese in France.
That alone can give an impression of how much diversity there is in such a small geographic area.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Well, you have a new album out called Solstice. And how many, which number album is this one?
Well, it depends how you count. My first album was not specifically my compositions. I was working on interpretation and collaborative effort with a German composer. So I sometimes don't count that one as one of my own because it wasn't completely my own composition. But this is my third album of my own true composition, beginning to end. The previous two albums were solo piano, Celebrations and Commemoration, with my first album of completely solo piano music. And last year I released Trilogies. Solstice is different because it's piano and violin. I'm fortunate enough to have the friendship and the collaboration of Misha Leskovitz, who is an amazing first violin with the Los Angeles Philharmonic. He's their most senior member.
Wow.
And
that's quite an honor. That's quite an honor. Yeah.
We met in a concert 3 or 4 years ago. It was actually quite an embarrassing story, but I'll tell you.
Yes.
I was attending the premiere of one of my solo piano works, and it was the last piece performed before intermission. So when the pianist took intermission, the audience stood up, and many people approached me during intermission, having just heard my piece, and wanting to compliment me or speak with me about my writing. And I was approached by several people, including this man whom I did not know. And he did not introduce himself. He just asked me some very, let's say, common questions about my writing. And he posed one question in particular, which was, do you ever write for strings? And at the time, at that particular moment, I was passionate working on a piece for cello. And so I decided to spend the 10 minutes of intermission talking about my love for cello.
Uh-huh.
And I had no idea with whom I was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So when I returned to my seat at the end of intermission, you know how it is, you're always mid-conversation when these things have to be interrupted. So I never got his name, I didn't know anything about him, and we were just interrupted and returned to our seats. And the man behind me in the concert tapped me on the shoulder, and he was an acquaintance, and said, "Oh, you know, it's wonderful you were speaking with Misha Leskovitz. Are you going to be writing for him?" And I said, "I'm sorry, what, who?" And my friend said, "You know, you should be really honored. This is a wonderful violinist. I hope he's going to ask you to compose for him." And I was absolutely mortified, and I was so angry with myself because I had been selfishly espousing my love of the passion of the moment, which was the cello. And I thought I had ruined an opportunity to impress a violinist. And so when the concert ended, I was really lucky. Misha came back to me. He gave me his business card. There he did tell me who he was. And he said he would be in touch. And, you know, you often hear those words, you know, we'll be in touch, and then not much can come of it. But indeed, the next day he emailed me and asked me specifically to work on a piece for him, which is featured on Solstice, actually. It's the second track of the album, the Nocturne pour Caline. This was originally a very simple little piano solo work that I had written in honor of a cat who had died. And he really loved that melody. So when he emailed me, he simply said, "You know, I really adore this theme. Would you please arrange it for the violin and give us something to play together?"
Wow.
So,
what a great
that was
story.
The beginning of this collaboration.
Well, of course, people can. You have a very nice website, I should mention.
Thank you.
Because people, I know on the radio, can they tune in and tune out, but I will mention it now. If they want to explore this, you have a lot of things they can actually delve into there on your website. And that website is?
Yes, it's actually just my name. It's www.danaevelase.com.
DanaeVlasse. And yes. And the way it works is so interesting because I know you are a fellow Grammy member, and
yes,
you can vote. So it's interesting on that always, just when you submit to the Grammys, because you never quite know exactly what category it's going to go in. And it's there's a rather large selection of classical choices. Well, did you submit this under classical, or what submission was it?
Yes, I did. I submitted it under classical in the small ensemble and chamber music category.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer have a category specifically for duos, which is truly a shame. I don't know when that fell, but I think it was a couple of years ago that the Grammy category dropped the duo possibility, and that's been regrouped so that now the only option for a non-soloist is to submit to small ensemble. And the challenge there is that while it's, of course, it is qualifying as chamber music, for us as a duo, it's quite challenging to compete with what the Grammy Committee allows under those rulings. It's up to 25 performers. So, you know, Misha and I are a simple duo and potentially up against a small chamber orchestra or a choir. And it's very difficult to compare these. I feel they're different genres.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't even aware of that, too. And it's interesting because your music it speaks like almost New Age music to me. I know it's
true. Oh, good.
Well, and even on your page, you mentioned how it does connect with the soul. And I always think of spiritual music or New Age music, which I think I've outgrown the term New Age. But spiritual music or inspiring music, to me, is something that lifts you. And any good music should really talk to your soul, in my opinion. And I think that's a lot of what you achieve on your music.
Yes, I'm so touched that that's how you feel my music, because it's exactly what I seek in my life. So yes, I'm always pursuing three concepts in my musical pursuit. I'm always, of course, I begin with the concept of beauty. I'm always looking for something beautiful, something immediately appealing to the listener. So ultimately, I'm sharing my perspective on what I find beautiful. The second element I look for is truth, and that's not necessarily a great, grand metaphysical concept. This is more my own personal view of what constitutes truth and honesty in my own experience. And then the third element I always seek is elevation. I feel that I have a duty to offer some degree of elevation and epiphany and growth to a listener. And I'm really touched that you said that about my music, because that's exactly what I'm seeking.
Well, and you've found and been able to work with some wonderful other people, including some artists from France and Spain and other areas. And when you do that, do you try to, I mean, these days you can really do anything by the computer, or do you try to do your part in the same area or meet with them, or is it sometimes just done by you doing your track and then they do their track where they are?
If possible, we meet. So that would be the sort of event that you organize when you're nearby each other. So when I'm in France, it's not the same time. But otherwise, you're right. Everything can be done via the internet and phone calls and online chat and a lot of emailing, a lot of back and forth. But what's really beautiful is the artists I've collaborated with have had a very natural approach to the interpretation of my music, or we have already shared, let's say, a creative aesthetic that makes it really easy to understand what the other person desires, because typically they want the same. So I've found my collaboration to be both easy and extremely fulfilling.
Which is a beautiful gift. When you're in France, I mean, that area you're in is beautiful. You say you like to be inspired or elevated. Don't you find that different areas, I mean, just like artists are inspired by different areas and the light when they paint.
Yes.
Do you find that there's an energy that's different in different areas when you're living in different areas?
Yes, there is. There is, although I must add that when I'm in France, I'm on holiday. So wherever you are on holiday, just a bit more magical than anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're really relaxed and in the mental state to appreciate everything fully. But yes, I agree with you. There are different energies and places. And I think that it can play an enormous part in your mental state and your working.
Mm-hmm.
So I would certainly encourage everyone, not just artists. I would encourage people to travel and to experience their own, I think their own sense of who they are through what is foreign to them.
Mm-hmm.
I think we uncover ourselves best through what surprises us or what delights us or what shocks us, because then we find out the root of the foundations that we take for granted in ourselves and in our culture.
Now, are you teaching when you're in France? Are you teaching children or adults, or are you doing that there as well?
when I'm in France, I'm on holiday. I'm not teaching. I might compose if I happen upon a piano and I have a few hours I can spend there, then I will spend as much as I can. I will spend time composing, but I'm there primarily to see my family and to disconnect from the intensity of my life otherwise.
Oh, how nice. That's wonderful. And so when you're in France, how long do you spend it? I know you were there for over a month
six weeks.
Oh, yes. How perfect. How wonderful.
I try to go at least a month.
Oh, that's the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And
what if it's so brutal?
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, I'm amazed that you aren't used to that by now. It's interesting.
Oh, no. No, it's always really difficult for me. Coming back towards America, traveling west is much easier.
I agree.
But going east is extremely difficult.
Yeah. I remember I'd planned I was going on a trip to Paris, and it was right, like, I think a couple of days before Easter, I believe. And I had plans, you know. I wanted to go to that beautiful opera house, and I had tickets to go to an opera there. And it was the day I had landed, you know, 6 a.m. from Maui. It's a long flight. It's about 22 hours. And I'm sitting there, you know, and they're expensive. I love the opera house. It's so beautiful in Paris.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm literally falling asleep, and I'm doing everything to try to keep my eyes open. I want to experience this, but I'm so tired. And my eyes are just keep shutting. It's like, I think I slept through half of it.
Oh, you know,
I know. I know. It's like, I get that, you know. Do you find that the audiences are a little different? Do you get to play ever in concert at any of these trips you do?
No, I make a point to be completely disconnected.
Wow, good for you. Good for you.
But I will say audiences are different because I've attended concerts in France as an audience member. And I also think that in my conversations with people in France, the French population has much more musical education than many others many other nations. And so I think that because French culture really prizes the arts and the value of a very well-rounded creative education, most people have some experience either musically or artistically or in a literary sense. People have a lot of cultural experience they bring to their music listening. So as audience members, they relate to the music in a very profound way that, you know, I almost never meet anyone in France who says, oh, I don't know anything about classical, because that's not true.
Mm-hmm.
People in France do appreciate it, and perhaps because they're so surrounded by history, a sense of relationship to the past is deeply imbued in people.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of the churches perform classical music for free, and there's maybe other, you know, even the museums in some places seem to have more access to people to be able to see it. I remember even being in Prague one time in one of the churches, and, I mean, there was this fantastic concert right there in one of the beautiful old churches in Prague, and it was, you know, just that's packed full, you know. You can do this. In fact, some places I've been in Europe, you just go in at noon, and they'll have an organ concert or something going on for free, you know. And so I agree. I think there's more access to people around that in Europe that I see, you know. But I'm glad to see that in L.A., you know, there's certainly that symphony is wonderful, and there are people who appreciate it. And it's great that you could connect with the first violinist and have him play with you, because, I mean, that's quite an honor, because that their symphony in L.A. is world recognized as an excellent orchestra.
Yes, the LA Philharmonic is extraordinary, and I never grow tired of attending and watching Gustavo Dudamel conduct. One of the wonderful things about the Los Angeles Philharmonic is their performance venue at Walt Disney Concert Hall is one of those rare venues in which the audience can surround the stage. So it depends on the concert, because they have an organ loft, and underneath they have risers, which are destined for a choir, but if a choir is not part of the performance, then those seats become available as audience.
Wow, interesting.
So, yes, should you desire, you can actually sit in what would be a vocalist seat and pretend to be a member of the orchestra or a member of the choir, it doesn't give the best sound, in the sense that if you're too close to the percussion, you get a lot of percussion and the balance is a little off. But the enormous advantage is that you can literally see the notes on the scores of the orchestra members, for instance. And you are in direct face-to-face with the conductor.
Wow.
You have an entirely different experience of the concert.
I'm sure you would. I never had heard that before. And what do you ask for if you want to get those seats?
Oh, they can be selected. When you buy them online, you just select the seats that are behind the stage.
Wow.
Or if you call the box office or do in person.
Wow, I would love that. That would be a very unique experience, right?
Yeah, I recommend it, although, again, it's not absolutely the best balance of sound, depending what you're seeing. If you're, for example, if you're going to see a concerto, then remember that the soloist is going to be directing the sound away from you towards the majority of the hall, and you've got a massive orchestra between you and the soloist. So you're more likely to hear the orchestra and the balance of the soloist will not be ideal. But if you're going to hear maybe a huge Mahler concert, for example, that's just orchestra, you could get an amazing visceral experience practically from within the seating with the orchestra.
Wonderful. Well, you are teaching in the Los Angeles area. Now you do offer piano classes.
Yes.
And are you going to perform with this wonderful violinist? And are you going to be performing with him any of the pieces anywhere in L.A.?
All that has actually already been done. There's some possibility in February or March that there will be another performance of the repertoire from this concert, but I don't have a confirmation yet for that, and that's Misha organizing all these things. So I don't know how to answer that question at this point.
Well, we can find out by staying in touch with your website.
Yeah.
And that's
D-A-N-A-E
V-L-A-S-S-E .com, correct?
Yes, correct.
Well, I think it's wonderful, and I think you have a very interesting life to be able to see the world as a world citizen, from knowing France and knowing L.A. and knowing Greece and being able to spend time and know everyone when you decide to take off and go to different places. I think it's fantastic. I would love to have that opportunity. Not a lot of people can do that, and I think it's great that you can.
I'm very grateful. I do understand that my life is exceptionally blessed.
It is indeed. Yeah. Well, I feel really grateful to know you and have found out about you. And one of these award ceremonies, I might catch up and to meet you in person.
I look forward to that immensely. Are you attending the HMMAs in November?
Maybe. And then also, I know I'm for sure I'm going to the Grammys in February.
Perhaps we'll see each other there then.
Well, wonderful. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk today, and we'll be in touch, and hopefully we'll get to meet and people can check out your beautiful music. Very inspiring, lovely music, and congratulations on getting it done and achieving the level that you've achieved.
Oh, thank you so much. It's so kind of you to support me, Cindy, and absolutely a delight to know you.
You too. A big aloha. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.